A Tag Mandaloo Andrew Form production. A Richard Benjamin film. Courtney Cox. David Arquette.
Honey, don't take the freeway. It's a mess this time of day. Okay, let's take 3rd to Broadway, to Jefferson, to Crenshaw, to Stocker, to La Siena, to La Tijera, okay? Oh, I wish you were coming with me. Paris is so romantic this time of year. You know, maybe we should cut down to 5th, to San Pedro, to Vernon, to Maine, to Florence, to Aviation, to Century. What do you think? Actually, I'd like to stay away from Inglewood. Let's just stay on 3rd. Oh, I cannot wait to get on this plane and just relax. Do you realize I've been in 13 countries in the past 6 months? Not that I'm complaining, because how many people get to see the world and get paid for it? But, oh, I just hate being away from you so much. Mm. Maybe we should cut down to 5th, to Maine, to Washington, to La Brea, to Jefferson, to St. Paul, to La Tijera.
Samantha Crumb arrives at the airport. Jonathan, the attractive brown-haired man who's driven her there, pulls the car up at the curb and dutifully fetches luggage from the boot. Samantha's slim with black hair and smiles as he passes her a suitcase and a hold all.
Well, I miss you already.
I'm not happy.
I know, but it's only for 6 days.
I mean with relationship. I'm moving out. I've accepted a job in New York. I'll be gone when you get back. I just don't love you anymore. Try to have a nice trip.
He maintains a stoic demeanor as he climbs back into the car and drives away. She's left on the airport forecourt in her knee-high white socks, looking like a lost schoolgirl.
The white zone is for the immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. No parking.
Airplanes taxiing for takeoff on a sun-baked runway. On board one, stewardesses prepare a drinks trolley.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We have a stack about here on the runway. We're going to have to sit tight for 20 or 30 minutes. I've instructed the cabin crew to break out the refreshment cart so you can enjoy a cocktail or cola on us. We apologize for the delay.
Samantha is frantically pressing the call button.
That seems to be the problem, ma'am.
I have to get off.
The plane?
No, the plane. It's just a plane!
I'm afraid that's not possible. We're about to take off.
In 30 minutes?
What?
I'm going to have to ask you to keep your voice down.
To speak to the pilot.
Well, that's against regulations. How about a glass of water?
Water. Right.
The steward goes, and Samantha leaps up, but the drinks trolley blocks her way. She barges across a row of seats and tears down an adjacent aisle, shoving aside a stewardess. Wrenching open a door, a large slide inflates before her, and she jumps. The shrink is in. Also starring David James Elliott, Viola Davis, Kimberly Davis, John Polito, and Carol Kane. Images of airport police arresting Samantha at the scene. They put her in the back of a squad car where she sits with a dour expression. A prison cell. California Department of Corrections, Parole and Committee Services Division. Samantha's charge, typed up, and then her fingerprints. Her profile photographs are taken. A judge's gavel. And a large blue juggernaut. It thunders past a group of LA volunteers on freeway cleanup duty. Samantha's amongst them, picking up litter and putting it into an orange sack. She takes a tumble, but soon gets back up and spikes a sweet wrapper. Directed by Richard Benjamin.
How are you feeling today?
She shrugs.
Finished my last hour of community service.
Congratulations.
In our last session, we talked about your fear of elevators and enclosed spaces. How's that going?
She shrugs and taps her foot.
What are you thinking about right now?
I dreamt I was running from a tidal wave last night.
Oh. Afraid our time is up.
Samantha leaves her psychiatrist's office at a nervy pace in her yellow volunteer's top and loose grey trousers. She has a large orange bag over one shoulder and a look of mounting panic upon seeing a sign on the door to the stairwell which reads, "Wet paint, please use elevator." Turning from the locked door, she glances around in dread. The cheerful ping of an elevator stiffens her with fear, but there's a besuited man holding the door for her.
Going down?
Terrified by his pleasant smile, she sprints back to the locked door. She raises her clenched fists to her temples, turns back to the elevator, and summons up the courage to reach out for the call button.
May I?
A young man rubs his finger on his pink I Love New York jumper and then holds it near the button.
Heat activated. This is us. All aboard!
Samantha edges inside the confined elevator space and clasps the railings in one corner. The fresh-faced man follows her in and the doors close.
Lobby?
Squirming, she nods and the man heats up his finger on his clothing again to activate the lobby button without touching it.
When that love light shines all around us, just let your love flow.
A man and woman entering the elevator are slightly unnerved by the man's enthusiastic singing.
You know what I mean, it's the season. Just let your love fly like a bird on a wing, and let your love bind you.
When the doors open at the lobby, Samantha sprints out.
Just let
I don't blame her.
The elevator empties and a woman comes in.
Five, please.
The fresh-faced man rubs his hands.
It's heat activated.
They share an awkward smile.
The absence of love is devastating. It can leave you numb and paranoid. You feel the world is against you, and all your possessions will be stolen from you. In fact, some people are even afraid to leave their apartment.
Samantha ejects the motivation tape and leaves her red car, heading for her apartment building. Inside, she stops to pick up posts from a locker. One envelope has, "Congratulations, you're pre-qualified," printed across it. She runs up a stairwell, sorting through a set of keys in her hand until she finds the one for her apartment.
No, no, Murray, no jump! Ugh.
Murray's a stubby brown dog. Samantha dumps her post on a coffee table laden with depression and anxiety books and pill bottles. That night, she awakes with a start in bed, which turns out to be on the sofa. She immediately starts searching through the pill bottles beside her. She flings some down her throat and drinks from a glass. The congratulatory envelope catches her eye in the pale moonlight and she decides to make a phone call.
Hi, it's me. Samantha. It's 1 a.m. here, so that's 4 o'clock your time. It's 4:01 to be exact. I have a piece of mail for you, and I didn't know if you wanted me to forward it. It's a credit card offer, and you've been pre-approved for a 5.9 APR introductory deal. Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
Her expression saddens.
Oh, you're not. I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I'm sorry I woke you, both. Yeah, okay. Bye.
She hangs up and throws the phone down tearfully. Cracking her knuckles, she lays back on the sofa and pulls up the sheets.
Murray. Murray, come to Mama. Murray, come to Mommy. Come on. Murray, come on.
If it's meant to be, the right guy will find me. Until then, I'm perfectly happy alone.
Is that why you're sleeping on the couch?
I don't like it on the couch.
Samantha, you haven't slept in your bed since Jonathan dumped you.
Is this a pep talk?
I'm just saying, it was right after the breakup you had that little airplane incident and all your difficulties began.
What is your point?
Time to get back into life. Put a fine to your butt. Get dressed up. Go out on a date.
Arriving back at the apartment.
Appreciate your concern. I'm fine. My life is fine. Everything is fine. It's my boss.
Shh. Hey, man!
Hello?
Jamming.
Gerald! Yes, hi! No, that's the band. Yes, I'm having a gorgeous lobster dinner on the beach. Oh, it's absolute paradise down here. You wait to see the pictures. Oh, well, you should be jealous. Okay, Gerald, I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.
You're a travel writer who for the past year only pretends to travel and you could stand there and tell me everything is fine. Drinks. That's all I'm asking.
Holding up a man's photograph.
As I stood on the silky white sands of Belize, the sun setting like a ball of fire in the sky, I was deeply moved by the turquoise blue Caribbean sea that sparkled before me like the eyes of...
Murray's disturbed as the sofa starts to shake. A large red removal truck pulls up outside. Samantha goes to the window in time to see removal men set to work across the road and a silver sports car park behind the truck. A muscular man with short dark hair climbs out and removes his sunglasses.
Oh my God!
Surveying the neighborhood, he catches sight of Samantha peering through her blinds. She then spies a blonde stepping out from the passenger side.
Oh my God. Hello? Dino, where the hell have you been? I need those Belize pictures by Thursday.
Do you think you can do something around here for me?
No, I know, but I promised my editor a spectacular cover. Dino, please do not let me down.
What?
I can't take it anymore. It's driving me crazy.
Why? We've got new neighbors.
Oh?
Leading Robin to the window.
Cute, huh?
So is his girlfriend.
Oh well.
You're set tonight for drinks with Richard, 8 o'clock at the Wave.
All the way in the valley?
At least you can drive there. You're lucky you don't have to fly.
I don't think I can make
it. Time to get back into life. Get dressed up. Besides, it's too late to cancel. I've already confirmed. You're going.
I have known people who walk into a room and believe a wave of hostility greets them. They are so overcome with anxiety that their hearts seem to beat through their heads. They must run away or they will die.
I'd like to park it myself.
Yes, yes.
No. I want to park it.
Yes, yes. Park. Go away.
Okay. All right, look, would you please be very careful, okay? It's a classic car.
The valet smiles incomprehensibly.
Here you go, and use that.
A crook lock.
Yes.
Which the valet hurls into the back seat. Samantha throws her head back in annoyance before shuffling into the popular and stylish restaurant. Faced with a throng of people, her breath quickens, and before panic sets in, she beats a hasty retreat back outside.
Excuse me! Excuse me! I need my car back. Yes, please. I'll give you your money. Just thank you.
The valet frowns. Samantha makes a call.
Good evening, Wade.
Hi. I'm supposed to be meeting someone at the bar. I'm not going to be able to make it. So, he's got brown hair, and he's wearing a dark jacket. No, not him. Not him. It's the other guy.
The maitre d' spots Samantha outside.
The one on your left. Yeah, could you please tell him that I cannot make... No. Richard?
Samantha!
Hi.
She waves awkwardly.
I know this is short notice, but I can't make it.
You can't make it?
No, I'm really sorry. Maybe some other time?
What did I do?
What did I do? Give them man the ticket.
Samantha's knocked into a bush, and the valets brought her car.
You are so insensitive!
Would you keep your voice down, please?
While Michael, the attractive new neighbor, chases after Isabel, his blonde girlfriend, the bush claims Samantha's skirt. Richard, startled to see her on the pavement in her underwear, but she quickly wrestles her skirt free and returns to the valet.
Ready? Close up the tap.
No.
Bring me nothing.
Richard watches as the valet drives off, just as Samantha reappears fully clothed.
No!
Richard raises his drink to her.
Surprise!
And how do you explain canceling from your cell phone outside the restaurant?
I don't know, but guess who was there?
Samantha.
Come on, guess.
The idiot police coming to take you away?
No, our new neighbors, and they were having a huge fight.
My behavior? Ah, what about you with the waitress?
What about Michael, I was not born on that bus.
I was just being nice.
You were flirting with her.
I was not.
Look, I had to talk to her to order food.
You know what? You should have just screwed her right there in the restaurant.
Ridiculous.
God knows what you are always doing at that bank till all hours of the night.
I'm working.
Is that?
Do you have to get high?
It relaxes me. What was that?
It's just the dog next door, Isabel. I love you. You're the only woman that I want. What do I have to do to prove it?
Make love to me.
She throws herself at him.
Oh, wait. Take me from behind like the farm animal.
Farm animal.
He stumbles around their bedroom getting undressed in a hurry while Samantha fetches a chair to get to the air vent, which she promptly closes.
She's repulsive.
You're jealous.
Jealous of what? Being screwed like the feminine?
You're sweet on him.
I just don't think it's ethical to eavesdrop on people.
Oh, really?
Oh, hello, Gerald. Yes, it's absolute paradise down here in Barbados.
Belize.
Whatever. Maybe I can get Nick interested in the game of old McDonald had a farm.
Good luck.
That night, Samantha's experiencing restless sleep. Murray watches her tossing and turning. Then, all of a sudden, she wakes and sits up. Becoming aware of her surroundings, she climbs off her sofa bed and wanders out onto a balcony. It's lit by hundreds of fairy lights hung on a creeper-covered trellis. She slumps into a chair and hugs her knees to her chest. Then, from the other side of the trellis divide...
Warm up.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
Well, that's okay.
I'm Michael, your new neighbor.
I'm Samantha.
My first girlfriend's name was Samantha. So what brings you out on the balcony in the middle of the night? Rendezvous with Romeo?
None that I'm aware of.
Trouble sleeping, then?
Oh, always.
Yeah, me too. Well, I'm gonna give it another shot. So, good night, Samantha.
Good night, Michael.
I still think Samantha's a beautiful name.
Well, thank you.
Sweet dreams.
He heads inside, and Samantha smiles coyly to herself.
That's great. Keep it up. Later, Leticia.
All right, see you tomorrow, Henry.
Henry, the fresh-faced man from the elevator, leaves the bus and sees Samantha.
Hey!
She walks right past him on a mission. He follows her into an office building. Now, to a man with a stethoscope around his neck.
We offer every magazine under the sun to cater to any and all of your patients' diverse needs and interests.
I don't have time for this right now.
Well, I'm gonna be in the building all day. Maybe I can stop by your office later. Okay, then. Have a nice day.
Henry turns round to see Samantha pacing along the corridor.
Good morning.
She hurries into an office.
1221. Dr. Louise Rosenberg, psychologist.
Dr. Rosenberg opens her door to Samantha.
I'm sorry, I'm late. God, I overslept, if you can believe that. Well, I'm in love. I know it sounds silly, and don't ask me how I know. I just know. I mean, he is the one. I knew it the minute I saw him. The only problem is he has a model. I mean, a girlfriend. Who I think is a model because she is gorgeous and dumb as a post. Of course, she's French, so not only is she an idiot, she's an arrogant idiot. Who I think is a pothead and maybe has a bestiality thing. I'm not... Anyway, he is a dream. He really is. He's a cross between Ken and G.I. Joe. Except for he's definitely not Faye like Ken. He's much more like a Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones, you know, except for he's an MBA and a Porsche. I mean, talk about gorgeous!
Having looked flustered from the offset, Dr. Rosenberg put her cardigan on inside out and is now sobbing into her hands. She tries to disguise her wails as laughter, but falls off her chair. And hides beneath an ornate coffee table where she sucks her thumbs contentedly. Medics wheel her away on a gurney. Samantha hurries alongside her shrink. Henry watches them.
No. Oh, God. Mommy's gonna take this and the theater's okay. No.
Rosenberg pulls Samantha into the elevator and slaps her forehead playfully.
She seems to be suffering from aggressive dissociative disorder, but I hesitate to make a definitive diagnosis at this time. She doesn't have anyone listed to notify in case of emergency. Do you know of any family or friends who can see to her affairs while she's indisposed?
No.
Well, at the very least, someone's got to cancel her appointments or she'll lose her practice.
Hello? Hi, Mrs. Coleman? This is... Lori, I'm Dr. Rosenberg's assistant. Well, I'm part-time. No, I have no intention of telling the whole world you're in therapy. I'm calling because Dr. Rosenberg had a personal emergency and won't be seeing any patients for a while. Well, it's personal. I don't think she wants the whole world to know. I'm sure you can relate to that. No, I'm not making fun of you. Uh-huh. Well, why don't you talk to Dr. Rosenberg when she gets back? I don't know when that'll be. Like I said, it's personal. Look, it's none of your damn business. Hello? Ugh. No wonder Dr. Rosenberg went crazy. Oh, great.
Tripping over the phone wire to get to the door. Michael's on the other side, looking devilishly attractive in a dark suit.
Dr. Rosenberg? Am I early?
No.
Michael Coleman. Hi.
Hi.
Should I come in?
Come in.
Thank you. Do I sit here?
Oh, I'll just sit.
Thanks.
She looks about anxiously before closing the door.
Thought you'd be older.
Older?
Not really, Matt. Jeffrey gave you a glowing recommendation.
You see, I'm not,
In any case, you know, I really appreciate. I appreciate you seeing me on such short notice. Like I said on the phone, this is my first time in therapy, and frankly, I'm not exactly sure why I'm here. It was Jeffrey who suggested I come and see you. We work together, as you know.
At the bank?
Right. I guess what it comes down to is that not happy.
Not?
I mean, there's nothing obviously wrong. You know, I have everything I could possibly want. Yeah, I have this underlying sense of...
discontent?
Exactly. It's like, I don't know, I feel restless and I'm having...
trouble sleeping.
Well, yes, I do have trouble sleeping. I guess deep down, I'm just...
lonely?
No, I'm not lonely. I'm in a relationship.
She stands.
What?
nothing.
Please.
No, it's really not.
Just say.
My business.
Just say, whatever it is. I mean, it's... I need your help.
Fiddling with her scarf, she offers...
Well, it's just that you can be in a relationship and still be lonely.
Rosenberg's chair tilts back.
Okay. Sorry, okay.
And again.
You can?
Sure, if you're not with the right person.
Michael frowns.
Maybe I should come every day for a while. I don't see this as being a long process. A week or two should straighten me out. Is this a good time?
Conflicted, Samantha struggles to answer.
Well, sure.
Great. I have a lunch meeting today. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Dr. Rosenberg. I'm Henry Pope.
Hi.
Henry Pope.
Michael Coulter. See you tomorrow, then.
Okay. Well, come on in.
I really appreciate you seeing me. A lot of doctors won't give me the time of day. Now, I don't want to take up too much of your time.
He's thrown when she picks up some pencils she dropped earlier.
I have some complimentary magazines for you.
Thank you. Okay, what seems to be the problem?
The problem?
Uh-huh. That brings you here today.
Oh, I sell magazine subscriptions to doctors' offices.
Mm-hmm. Is that a problem?
Well, it's not easy. But I shouldn't complain. I saw you this morning with your patient. It must be very stressful to have to deal with other people's problems all the time.
I know, it's a job.
Well, I can never do what you do. You.
Oh, please.
Thank you. I can tell you a little secret. I'm scared of people. It's part of the reason why I'm doing this job, to get back into the world and talk to strangers, to get back into life.
What made you get out of life?
Well, I think I got disillusioned with a lot of things. People and politics. The whole world feels off-kilter to me lately. Just can't seem to trust anyone, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, one day I had this terrible anxiety attack. I was on my way to Manhattan on the Long Island Railroad, and I suddenly just had to get off, or I was sure I was gonna die. So I yanked that emergency cord, and you'd be surprised how fast that old train just screeched to a halt. And anyway, I just pushed my way off like my butt was on fire. I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm telling you all this. I bet no one asks you how you're doing for a change. How are you doing, Dr. Rosenberg?
I guess the truth is we really weren't right for each other. You know, in hindsight, I think he was probably the stronger one for leaving.
Excuse me.
He clumsily passes her a tissue box.
Thank you.
It doesn't take a strong man to walk out on a wonderful woman like you, Dr. Rosenberg. It takes a fool. But if it's any consolation, I've been there. And it's true what they say. Time heals all wounds.
Touched, Samantha dabs her nose.
Can you come every day for a while?
For what?
For therapy!
Oh.
Oh, don't worry about the money, okay? We'll work something out. You can pay me in magazines. How does that sound?
Well, that sounds great.
Okay, great. Is this a good time for you?
Perfect.
Okay. I mean, Henrik. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Dr. Rosenberg.
Okay, thank you.
A large lady sitting in reception, stuffing her face with sweets.
You're not Dr. Rosenberg.
I'm not.
I thought you'd be much older.
I'm just not happy. I'm...
Fat.
What?
You're fat and you hate yourself for it. I mean, I bet your husband is on your back about it all the time, too.
Yes, he is.
Oh, well, screw him. You can't help your metabolism.
Well, to be honest, I do binge.
Okay. At least you don't purge.
That's true. Of course, I've tried every diet there is.
Okay. You're rich, right?
Well, yes.
Okay, here's what you do. You hire a food slapper.
A what?
A food slapper, someone who literally follows you around day and night and just slaps the food right out of your hands. I guarantee you, no matter what it cost, it will be worth it.
Now, Samantha's running up the stairwell in her apartment block. She's outside her apartment when Isabel appears naked.
Oh my God!
What? What? What?
Did you feel that? I think we just had an earthquake. Brace!
I don't think so.
Murray!
He nips into Isabel's.
Murray! Oh my God! Pussy!
I beg your pardon?
My cat, you idiot!
Murray jumps onto a black leather sofa and chases the fluffy white cat, knocking over ornaments and a photo of Isabel and Michael in the process.
Come, Murray! Come, pussy, come! Don't just stand there, get your stupid dog! You're my poor little pussy. Come here.
I'm terribly sorry.
You shouldn't have a dog if you can't control it.
It's just a puppy. Hey, wow, is this your boyfriend? What is he, a tennis pro?
You know, just take your little Nazi dog and get out.
Okay, okay. Don't have to be so pussy. Pissy about it.
Are you insane?
Am I going to hell?
Try jail.
Jail?
You remember jail? It's illegal to impersonate a doctor, isn't it?
You're just a PhD.
Samantha, what were you thinking?
I wasn't.
There he was, the one! You don't know that.
Yes, I do! The minute I saw him, something snapped.
You can say that again.
All right.
You have to tell him you're not Dr. Rosenberg.
Right. What about my other patients?
Your other patients? Samantha!
Okay. Okay. I'm just gonna march right in there, and I'm gonna tell him the truth. I promise. Hi. Sorry, I'm late.
You play tennis?
Since I was a little girl, I used to compete.
Me too.
Really? Yeah, I'd have to say that tennis is my grand passion.
Oh. A lamp smashing forehand.
Oh, no big deal. No biggie. Okay. Oh, okay.
She replaces the shattered lamp and then falls foul of the chair again.
Oh, can't believe it.
Settling herself in her tennis outfit, complete with white visor.
I have a little confession to make.
Me too.
Really? Oh, good. You go first.
Well, I have to admit, I have never really thought much of your profession. But yesterday, the way you just cut right to the quick, I really think you zeroed in on my problem.
Well, you know, it's just so clear to me that you're not happy with Isabel.
Did I tell you her name was Isabel?
Didn't you? I mean, you must have. I mean, how else would I know? So why don't you tell me a little bit about her?
Well, she was a Victoria's Secret model, but now she wants to get into acting.
Well, that's what she does, you know, thanks to a lucky roll of the gene pool dice. Why don't you tell me who she is, you know, inside?
What do you mean?
I mean, is she loving, nurturing, affectionate?
We have great sex.
Define great.
Hot.
Intimate?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you make love or do you just screw? Like a farm animal.
Well,
You know, because meaningless sex can get boring after a while, I mean, don't you think?
Well...
Which might explain your dissatisfaction. You know, and you're yearning for something deeper, something more emotionally rewarding.
Huh.
What do the two of you have in common?
Like?
Tennis, for instance.
No, she really isn't athletic.
You see, common ground, it's very important. Especially considering that someday soon she's gonna lose her looks. I mean, her skin is gonna sag and wrinkle like a Shar-Pei. She'll probably blow up like a balloon. And, well, you know, the French, I mean, with all the brie and the cream.
Did I tell you she was French?
Didn't you?
I don't think so.
Okay, so what else?
Work's been stressful lately.
Okay, let's stick to the subject. Are there any drugs involved?
Drugs?
Well, it's no big secret that models do drugs.
She smokes pot.
I had a feeling.
Do you need to get that?
No, that's just my next patient. Have you ever asked her not to get high?
Well, yes.
And did she honor your request, or did she react with hostility and anger?
Well, she said...
Relaxes her.
Yeah.
And then did she want to have sex?
Yes. How did you know that?
Michael, it goes back to our discussion about intimacy. You see, the addict, Isabel, prizes her marijuana above all else. I mean, she's incapable of real intimacy with you because, in a sense, pot is her true lover. And you...
Touching his nose.
You are just the guy she screws. Do you know what I mean?
He nods as she strokes his cheek.
What?
Are you Dr. Rosenberg?
Is that a trick question?
Outside, emergency services are inflating a crash mat beside the building. The two police officers lead Samantha up the stairwell and into an office crowded with workers, all gazing towards a window.
We just need you to stall him until we can blow up the bag down below.
Perched on a ledge outside the window is a balding worker in a suit. Samantha looks at him, and then the drop. Her eyes widen.
Hi, Dr. Rosenberg.
Henry, what are you doing?
I'm just keeping Bob company until you get here. I told the police about how you helped that woman in your office.
Oh, great.
This is Bob. His wife left him.
I can't live without her.
How long were you married?
3 weeks.
Can you excuse me for a moment? That's that coming.
Henry chats to Bob on the ledge.
So like I was saying, I was involved in the computer business, but taking a break now. The pressure just started to get to me, you know what I'm saying? I guess you do.
Sorry about that. So, Bob, what do you do?
I'm a judge.
Really? Wow, that must be interesting work.
It's a drudgery.
What about kids? You have any?
Miriam wanted kids, but I'm sterile.
Oh. How about friends?
I don't have any.
Parents?
Dead.
Okay, then.
I'll be your friend, Bob.
I don't think so.
I really gotta go.
Don't worry. News 3 here. Can we please get a comment?
On the other hand.
So you're sterile, huh?
Yeah, I have a problem with my lower tract.
What are you doing, Dr. Rosenberg?
Just thought I'd use fast company.
She's on the ledge, and a news chopper appears.
just joined us. As you can see from our sky cam, we have three people out on a ledge on the 14th floor of a medical building downtown.
Jim, this is Kelly. From down on the street, I count 13 floors.
Well, we're being told it's 14, Kelly.
Well, whatever it is, it's pretty high up. Jim, we're being told that the woman you see on your screen is Dr. Louise Rosenberg, a former tennis pro turned psychologist who works in the building and is apparently employing an unusual tactic by actually climbing out of the ledge herself in an attempt to talk the jumpers back inside the building.
Do we know anything about the jumpers, Kelly?
Well, Jim, we're being told that the heavyset man you see in the middle is some sort of judge, and the young man to his right is possibly a male prostitute.
I got an idea. My life sucks too, Bob. Why don't we all jump?
What?
Grab Bob's hand, Dr. Rosenberg.
Samantha shakes her head, but Henry nods encouragingly, and Bob holds out his hand. She takes it.
All right. Isn't this exciting? Here we come! One, two, three!
Oh, wait!
What, Bob?
I don't want to die!
Oh, that's the spirit bomb! Let's all live!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! We're gonna die!
Oh, my God!
We're not gonna die, Bob!
I wanna live!
We're all living,
body
Bob!
Living.
Oh, God! I wanna live!
Bob!
I am too young to die!
Bob! Shut up! Now, nobody is going to die. However, if you start screaming again, I'm personally going to push you off this ledge. Are we clear? I can't hear you! I can't hear you!
Yes, we're clear!
Okay. Now, we're all going to inch our way to the left. One, three. One, two, three.
I can't.
Bob?
I'm right-handed.
Meaning?
I have to go to the right.
They're coming to the other window!
The cops and journalists ignore a dental patient in the chair in the neighboring room.
Okay. We're almost home, baby.
Okay.
An officer tries to pull Bob in. Samantha frees Bob's jacket, but loses her balance.
I got you, Dr. Rose!
Michael glances round as Henry and Samantha fall past the window. The pair land safely on the inflatable crash mat, to the rapturous applause of onlookers. She glances up at the building, still clutching a piece of Bob's jacket.
That was great.
For a moment, they're lost in each other's eyes. But then...
Michael! Oh!
My name's Henry.
I am so sorry. Okay. Where were we? No.
Samantha.
Don't forget your assignment.
I won't.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rosenberg.
Call me Louise, okay?
Louise.
Henry, come on in.
You were incredible out there, Dr. Rosenberg. You saved Bob's life.
Well, you weren't so bad yourself.
Oh, what a rush. I wanted to go again.
Okay, I don't know about that.
You don't remember me, do you? Let your love flow like a mountain stream,
yeah.
And let your love show
the elevator
with the smallest of dreams.
Hey, do you always sing in elevators?
Yeah, it relaxes me.
Wow. And you don't care what people might think?
No. You should try it sometime. What's your favorite song?
I don't have a favorite song. And if I did, I can't sing.
Oh, sure you can. Mm-hmm. What about I thought love was only true in fairy tales. You know this one.
Yeah, I do know that one. I don't want to sing.
Meant for someone else, but not for me. Come on.
No.
Don't be shy. Love was out to get me. Come on.
No.
That's the way it seemed. Come on.
No.
Here comes the chorus.
Okay.
Oh, when I saw her face. Come on, give it all.
I don't want to.
I'm a believer, not a trace.
You've got to stop.
of doubt in my mind.
Have you ever tried medication?
I'm in love.
Ooh. Huh?
No. Why? What for?
For depression, anxiety.
No.
Well, you should. You know, you can't just go around your life and just singing at the drop of a hat. Okay, there's certain situations where it's just not appropriate. And if life were so simple where you could just sing away your anxieties and fears, well, it's just not that simple, at least not for most people.
Oh. Well, I guess you're right, Dr. Rosenberg. But I'm not like most people. Here, these are for today. I just took a guess on what might interest you. But there's no magazine called Meanie.
He sneers at her and leaves.
Henry, wait!
Are you all right?
No.
You fell off a building.
I saved a man's life.
But you fell 14 floors off a building.
Don't you see? Fate has so obviously brought us together. Destiny moved Michael in next door, delivered him to Dr. Rosenberg on the exact day she had her breakdown, so he would think that I was her, so I could help him break up with Isabel, and he would just know that we were meant to be. But you think that's just some crazy coincidence?
Yes.
There are no accidents. Yes, this is Samantha Crum. I'm calling to check on Louise Rosenberg. If you could have Dr. Mark call me back, I'd like to know how long I have. I mean, she has. Until she's better, okay? Thank you. Am I glad to see you?
Isabel interrupts Samantha's delivery.
You keep that dog away from my pussy.
Her cat. Sorry.
Samantha signs for the package and tears it open. Inside are some photos, a note, and a contact sheet of smaller shots. She looks at them by a window.
Good boy, Dino.
Her eyes widen as she looks out of a window and sees Michael getting out of his car. Running back to her apartment, she finds the door locked. With nowhere else to run, she takes off along the corridor just as Michael enters the building and checks his mailbox. Coming to the end of the corridor, she bangs on an apartment door before trying the elevator. Michael slowly making his way up the stairs. When the elevator doesn't come, Samantha opens up the garbage chute and jumps head first into it. As she lands in a dumpster, upstairs, Michael finds a bag of garbage outside his apartment and drops it down the chute. It lands on Samantha's head. That night, in Michael's apartment.
Where is it?
I flushed it.
How dare you flush my pot in the toilet?
I did it for us. So we can be intimate.
Intimate? Have you gone mad?
You love your pot more than you love me.
What did you say?
Pot is your real lover. I am just the guy you screw.
Are you having an affair?
I'm seeing a therapist.
A therapist?
Dr. Rosenberg.
Uh-oh. She's a psychologist.
Is she attractive?
No.
He has to say
what?
Because it is funny.
It's not funny. I'm dissatisfied.
It is human nature to be dissatisfied. Grow up, Michael. Be a man, not a mouse.
And another thing, we don't make love. We...
Samantha's been listening. Now, she's visiting Dr. Rosenberg.
Oh, it can be very stressful listening to other people's problems all day long.
Tell me about it.
But I am feeling so much better now.
Time for your medication, Louise.
The doctor laps it up.
Oh, I so appreciate you looking after my affairs while I'm having this wonderful little rest.
How long do you think that you will be resting?
Gosh, I don't know.
There's no hurry. I mean, I wouldn't rush back to work. You know, you surely don't want to risk the chance of a relapse.
Hello, Kitty.
Oh, hello, Kitty. Hello.
There's nothing there.
Susanna, she's a Persian.
I think she'll be back to work in a week or so.
So soon?
She's doing much better.
Do you know about the imaginary cat?
Hallucinations are a common side effect of her medication. I'll keep you posted.
All right, please do.
Now, Samantha welcomes Michael wearing a slinky black skirt and see-through top.
I've never been so miserable in all my life.
He doesn't give her a second glance.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
He leans on her.
Oh, it's gonna be all right. There.
She buries his face in her chest.
You know, if there's one thing that I've learned, it's that a man who can't express his emotions is a mouse. A real man can show his dissatisfaction and do something about it.
He kisses her, causing her to fall off the edge of the sofa onto the floor. Getting back to their feet, they start discarding their clothes while they kiss. Leafing through a magazine in the waiting area, Henry gets to his feet and presses the buzzer.
It's my next patient.
Michael gets up.
I should go.
I don't want you to think I do this with all my patients.
I don't.
Oh.
They dress and straighten up the office.
Do you want to talk about this?
No.
No, wait.
He's ready to go.
Okay.
It's natural that you feel confused. Guilty, even.
Okay.
So I will see you tomorrow, then?
He hides his face from Henry.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
Hi, Henry. Come in.
Henry stands up.
I'm sorry I'm running a little late today.
It's okay.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine.
She raises her chair up from a horizontal position.
Look, about yesterday, I'm...
You seem a little flushed.
I do?
She brushes her hair back.
That's a nice outfit.
Thank you.
Are you going dancing? Do you believe in love at first sight, Dr. Rosenberg?
Yes, in some cases.
Me too. I recently met this woman, and the moment I saw her, I knew she was the one.
The one?
Fate brought us together. Do you believe in fate, Dr. Rosenberg?
Yes, I do.
Me too. I think the problem is that most people think with their heads instead of their hearts, don't you?
Actually, I do. I do.
So, do you think I should tell this woman how I feel?
Well, sometimes honesty right away, that it's not always the best policy. I think that, I don't know, it could scare her off. I think you should probably wait until you get some kind of indication that she feels the same way.
Right. You're right. I have to leave early today. I have an appointment.
Oh?
Are you sure you're not coming down with anything?
He touches her cheek.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think it's just a little warm in here.
Yeah, right. It's warm. These are for today. Call me if you need a dancing partner.
As he leaves, Samantha looks through a pile of magazines and finds a copy of International Traveler. Sometime later, she pulls up outside her office, wearing a summer dress and a new tan. Lifting a sombrero off the passenger seat, she enters the building and knocks on her boss's office door.
International Traveler.
Hi. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. I overslept. Oh, must be the jet lag. Oh, for you.
Great tan.
Thank you.
Where'd you get it?
Belize.
In a bottle, you mean?
Dino. What are you doing here?
Claiming the throne, darling.
You're fired.
Now, Samantha's walking with Robin and Murray.
I got fired.
Fired?
Yeah, and I had sex with Michael.
You had sex with him?
I know. I slept with a patient. I violated my canon of ethics with a Hippocratic oath.
You're not really a doctor, Samantha.
He doesn't know that.
Exactly.
He's the one who initiated the sex.
Samantha, the man is vulnerable. His head is in your hands, and you twisted it to your advantage.
I'm helping him.
You're helping yourself.
You're jealous.
What?
Mm-hmm. You're not having sex, so you don't want anyone else to.
I'm married. It's perfectly normal not to have sex.
Well, I'm never married like that.
Don't worry. There's not a man on this planet crazy enough to marry you.
Well, maybe if I find a lazy actor like Nick to support.
Robin just looks at her, then walks away.
Nick and I have our problems, but we've been together for 10 years. You know why? Because in spite of it all, we love each other for exactly who we are. No one's pretending to be something they're not. That's how successful relationships work in the real world, Samantha. You should try it sometime.
Meanwhile, Dr. Mark's just stepping into the psychiatric ward.
Henry, how are you today?
Top of the world, Doc. Put her there.
Henry's visiting his friend, Charlie.
Hey, I've been meaning to get one of those.
I sold 3 Field and Streams a day and 2 Playboys. I'm pretty sure the Playboys were for the doctors.
Well, I really appreciate you filling in for me, Henry. I really do.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, Charlie.
There you go.
I think I'll be out of here soon. I'm feeling much better.
Really? Well, take your time. There's no hurry on my account.
Oh, hey. Hey, how long have I known you, Henry?
Since MIT.
That's right. What's her name?
Louise Rosenberg. She's a doctor in the Wilshire building.
Oh. Really?
I think I'm in love.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, what does she think about you?
Well, that's the problem. I think she likes another patient.
Hmm. Does she, know about you?
No. You got to tell her?
No. No, I'd wait till she falls in love with you, and then she won't care what you've done.
Wow. Well, how do I get her to fall in love with me?
Henry!
Dr. Rosenberg. Hey, want a bite?
What are you doing?
I got hungry.
On the phone, you said you were going to jump.
Oh, it kind of changed my mind.
Henry, I'm very busy. I don't have time for boys who cry wolf. I haven't had the best day.
Bye-bye!
No, wait! Henry, don't!
Why? You don't care, do you? Do you care?
Of course I care.
You do?
Yes.
How much, teacher?
Oh!
Please, try not to yell. You're frightening the other children. It's gonna be all right.
A shaken Samantha steps off a children's fairground ride. A Ferris wheel ride later, Henry drags her towards an amusement arcade for a game of air hockey. A ring toss.
I'm good.
A man hands over a giant cuddly Tweety pie. Sunset, and Henry and Samantha are back on the pier.
I have a confession to make.
You do?
Yeah, I was never gonna jump off the pier. I just wanted to see you, and I know that there's patient-doctor rules, and I sense that you're a very ethical person. And I was afraid you were gonna say no. So I'm sorry, I hope you can forgive me.
I forgive you.
Later, Samantha's in her car.
I really had fun.
Me too. Are you sure you don't want to ride home?
No, thanks. I love walking. Good night, Dr. Rosenberg.
Good night, Henry.
She drives away, leaving Henry with Tweety.
How about a good night kiss?
Now, Samantha's visiting Dr. Rosenberg.
Thank you so much for bringing me my purse. I just always feel naked.
We have everything in there but the kitchen sink.
That's true. Hey, Dr. Hamburg, what up? You want to sit down for a minute?
Sure.
Good. How have you been?
Fine. Yeah.
Well, I seem to remember that in our last session you said you were in love. How's that going?
Well, I sort of met this other guy, Henry. He's different.
Oh, how different?
Well, he's not really my type.
Could be a good sign.
It is?
Well, sometimes our type is someone who perpetuates unhealthy behavior patterns.
What do you mean?
Well, we're oftentimes attracted to someone who reinforces our dysfunction. In your case, I'd say someone who's unavailable, basically narcissistic like your father, or someone who's critical and doesn't really understand and appreciate you for who you really are, like your mother, or someone who, assuming you even dare to show your true self, will ultimately abandon you, like your mother and your father, therefore proving your greatest fear that you're unlovable. Because you haven't really shared much of your history with me, so I'm just guessing.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting theory, really. And you know, perhaps in the past that may, you know, have been somewhat true. I don't, you know, but Michael, this guy that I'm in love with,
has a girlfriend, didn't you say?
Well, yes, but he's
unavailable.
Not for long. He's, we had sex.
Oh, so he's unfaithful.
Oh. Well,
let me ask you something. What makes you think that if he cheats on his girlfriend, he won't eventually cheat on you?
Considering, Samantha looks unnerved. Isabel's outside Dr. Rosenberg's office, and she looks mad. While Samantha pulls up outside, Michael marches into the building and calls for the elevator. Upstairs, Henry steps out of an elevator with flowers.
Dr. Rosenberg!
Isabel steps into the office to find it empty, and Michael walks into the elevator.
Hello, Dr. Rosenberg!
Isabel opens a door to a cupboard. Helping herself to one of the doctor's business cards, she heads for the exit and bumps into Henry.
Have you seen Dr. Rosenberg?
No.
Looking down her nose at him, she turns and leaves in a huff. Meanwhile, Samantha is jogging up the stairs. Passing the 7th floor, Michael bangs his head against the elevator wall, unaware that Isabel's on the 12th, waiting to take it back down. Exhausted after her exertions, Samantha opens the door of the stairwell and gasps when she discovers Isabel standing in the corridor. Two elevators open at once, and Isabel steps into one as Michael steps out of the other. A relieved Samantha slides down the stairwell door. Walking through the lobby, Isabel takes out the business card and looks for a payphone. Dr. Rosenberg's playing badminton. Checking her pager, she makes a call on her mobile.
Yes, this is Dr. Rosenberg.
Sitting side by side on the sofa outside the doctor's office, Henry watches Michael anxiously twirling a set of car keys around his finger.
Did you ever hear that joke, what's the difference between a Porsche and a porcupine?
No, I haven't.
Well, a porcupine has the pricks on the outside. Ha 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 ha
That's a good one.
Samantha rushes in.
You're early. And you're late.
Well, I guess that makes me first, huh?
Michael swaggers to the door.
Henry, do you want to come back?
No, I'll wait.
Okay. All right. I didn't think you were coming.
I broke up with Isabel.
You did?
I told her about us. Well, she asked. I mean, she guessed. She said she could smell you on me.
You didn't take a shower?
She didn't mean it like that.
Oh.
It's like she has this sixth sense, you know? Of course, she knows accusing me of having an affair. She's insanely jealous.
Did she have reason to be jealous? I mean, did she before?
No. No, hardly ever.
Hardly ever?
Henry.
Hey. Sorry to interrupt. I forgot to tell you. There was a French woman looking for you earlier.
French?
Yes. Yes, Dominique. Yes, I saw her, Henry. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Really, okay. I saw her. Okay.
Who is that guy?
He's a patient.
You sleeping with him, too?
No.
Well, he's got a major bone for you.
I beg your pardon?
He brought you flowers.
He did?
Guy's a serious head case, if you ask me.
In the waiting area, Henry notices an air vent and climbs up to it.
He's not a head case. He's very sensitive.
Sensitive? Is he a fag?
No, he's in love with some woman.
Yeah, his mother.
Oh, you know, men like you always think that men like Henry aren't manly because they happen to be gentle and considerate.
Loser.
He's not a loser. He's fun. He's kind and interesting.
Really? What's he do for a living?
Sells magazine subscriptions.
That's impressive.
It is impressive. I mean, he's very sexy, too. What do you do?
Michael's taken his shirt off.
Stop it.
No.
I can't.
You already have.
I know, but I can't again.
You women are all the same. You control, you manipulate, you're just like my mother. She ground my father in the mush. He just sat there on the couch, reading the paper. But one day dropped dead in a crapper. That's not gonna happen to me.
Samantha is on her knees.
The hell's the matter with you?
Henry!
Dr. Rosenberg!
Oh, I can't hear this.
Hey! Dr. Rosenberg! Are you okay? Here. Breathe in this bag. Just breathe.
I have to tell you.
Breathe, just trust me.
Talk about peas in a pod.
I'm not here. Shh. Michael!
Isabel!
She is not Dr. Rosenberg.
What?
She's an imposter. This is the real Dr. Rosenberg.
Hello?
Then who is she?
Our next door neighbor. She was just pretending to be a shrink so she could break us up and have you for herself.
Samantha.
Pained, Henry runs out.
Henry!
Get her!
Let go of me! Let go!
No, no, no! She's my patient!
As two security guards take her by the arms, Samantha slips into unconsciousness. Rolling along the freeway, the big blue juggernaut engulfs the community service workers in a cloud of exhaust fumes. Samantha tramples on a cardboard box. Now she's back in Dr. Rosenberg's office.
I dreamt I was running from a tidal wave again last night.
What do you think the tidal wave represents?
853 hours of community service? It was a good thing I talked that judge off the ledge. Well, I'd probably be in a woman's prison right now making license plates.
So what are your plans?
Well, I lost my job, I lost my best friend, and I lost the one who really was the one. So I don't know.
No one heard from Henry, huh?
Mm-mm. I tried to find him at the place that he supposedly worked, but they said they had never heard of him. So either he never existed or he just doesn't want anything to do with me.
What do you want?
I want him.
Time is up.
Samantha and Dr. Rosenberg get to their feet.
Thanks for seeing me. Again, I'm really sorry for everything.
I know you are.
Thanks.
In the waiting room, a patient reaches for a sweet, only to have her hand slapped by a man sitting next to her.
Samantha!
Oh, hi, Mrs. DeBatty.
I haven't seen you since your trial.
How are you?
I've lost 30 pounds, thanks to my food slapper here. I left my husband. Ralph and I are getting married as soon as my divorce goes through.
Oh, congratulations.
And I owe it all to you.
Bye-bye now.
A delivery man walks from a van carrying a basket of flowers and a big bunch of balloons. A moment later, Robin's looking up at them in bewilderment.
Sign, please.
She takes the docket. Samantha's nailing a board over the air vent in her apartment when there's a knock on the door. It's Robin.
You don't happen to know anything about 2 first-class round-trip tickets to Hawaii and first-class accommodations at the Poipu Kalipi in Kauai, do you? By any chance?
I thought you and Nick could use a vacation, and since I had all those frequent flyer miles and hotel coupons just going to waste...
So this is a bribe?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't mean all those things I said about you and Nick.
Yes, you did. But I needed to hear them. Nick and I in couples therapy.
Really?
And we had sex last night.
Get out! It's great.
Yes, it was.
I'm so sorry for everything.
Shh. Bribery means never having to say you're sorry.
Come here.
They embrace. Later, Samantha's ready for bed. Removing the blanket and pillow from her sofa, she walks to the door, then stops and looks over her shoulder at Murray in his basket.
Are you coming?
Murray looks up at her, then sinks back down into his basket. Samantha turns out the light and walks to her bedroom. Arranging the blanket and pillow, she climbs into bed. Resting her head on the pillow, she keeps her eyes open. Later, she wakes suddenly to find Murray lying next to her. Smiling, she reaches over and strokes his back. She kisses him on the nose and they settle down for the night. Now it's daytime and Samantha enters her apartment building and checks her mailbox. Binning junk mail without opening it, she finds an envelope addressed to Jonathan. Then discards that too. Next, she turns over an unstamped postcard from Belize. Wish you were here, Henry. Say you're going Leaning back against the mailboxes, she breaks into a beaming smile.
Hey, hey, hey! Hey! Thanks a lot, man. No problem.
Outside, Charlie shakes hands with a postman, who then drives off in his van. Commercial airliners taxi along a runway. Sitting in a departure lounge, Samantha's in a world of her own.
Your attention, please. This is the last boarding call for all passengers on flight 104 to Cancun with connections to Belize. Thank you.
So there's reasons while I'm feeling so hard, must be the season.
Nervously, she gets to her feet and approaches the gate.
Don't let that feeling grab you deep inside and send you reeling.
Where you better hurry.
Let your love fly.
Now, a rickety old twin-engine plane with Aero Bonita painted on the side comes to a stop on the tarmac. The door opens and men in military uniforms run over to direct the first few passengers who emerge, including a woman carrying a chicken in a cage. Behind her, Samantha needs help as she steps out. After leaning against a wing and puffing out her cheeks, she regains her balance and joins the other passengers in walking towards the terminal. Noticing a car, Samantha stops and watches it pass by. It pulls up beside a private jet, and Henry climbs out of the passenger seat.
He's expecting me. He's a friend. Me, amigo. Amigo. Look over there.
Sammy Sosa. Distracting the military men, she makes a run for the jet, but a car with a machine gun mounted on the back blocks her path.
Henry!
We're clear to New York, sir.
Okay, wait!
Having not noticed her, Henry steps aboard the jet, which has a Goldfish Propopolis Enterprises logo on the side. Now, still dragging her suitcase behind her, Samantha rushes into the Goldfish Company headquarters and marches right past the receptionist.
Excuse me. Hello? You just can't walk in here like this.
Popopolis?
Sorry, Mr. Popopolis. She just ran by.
How dare you?
What?
What? Mr. Father of the Goldfish Internet Browser and multi-billionaire? Otherwise known as Mr. Honesty Integrity and I Never Lie, I swear?
All right, calm down. You're scaring the fish. I never lied.
You told me you sold magazines.
Well, I did.
Do you have any idea what I've been through? I've been on 6 planes and 5 elevators in the past 48 hours. And not to mention being fondled aggressively in a Central American jail.
Why?
Why? Wish you were here. Henry, does it ring a bell?
I didn't send this. It's not even postmarked.
She looks confused.
Oh, I think I know who's behind this. My friend Charlie. The one who sells magazines, the one I was filling in for while he was on vacation.
Why, you're also a temp? I don't...
Listen, I'm sorry. You went all the way to Belize?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry that I barged in on your empire here. Look, you have a nice life.
Wait, you came all this way.
Henry's staff gets back to work as Samantha walks back over to him.
Well, I wanted to say to you that
I know I lied. And I know what I did was wrong. It was really wrong. But you weren't exactly who you were pretending to be either. And I was so much angrier on the plane. I just think that, you know, like you said, people think with their heads too much and not with their hearts. And I thought that you and I should think with our hearts. That was when I thought that you sent the postcard. And you didn't, so. As you see, this is a moot point.
Wait. Come here.
He takes her into his office.
I wish I did send it.
What?
But I was scared. I went to Belize because I read your article. You're such a great travel writer and you made it sound so good. I needed somewhere to think. But once I got there, I couldn't stop thinking about you. How much I wanted you there with me.
You can kiss me now.
Henry moves in for a kiss, which doesn't end until he and Samantha are husband and wife. Stepping off a platform erected on a beach, Samantha throws her bouquet to Dr. Rosenberg, then kisses both her and Bob, who's standing next to her. Next, she embraces Robin and gives Nick a kiss. Henry hugs Charlie as a band begins to play.
There's a reason for the sunshiny sky. There's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season.
As the happy couple enjoy their first dance as husband and wife, Henry invites the wedding party to join them on the sand.
Let your love flow like a mountain stream. Let your love grow. From the simplest dreams, oh, let your love show, and you'll know what I mean.
Samantha gives Henry a kiss on the nose.
Yeah, you'll know what I mean. Hey, let your love fly, like a bird on a wing. Let your love find you in all living things, and let your love.
Jumping at their feet, Murray joins in the celebrations. As sunset approaches, Samantha and Henry dance at the water's edge, the waves gently lapping at their feet.
It's the season.